Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we are coming to you from the studios of KWVA in Eugene, Oregon. And our guest today has been responsible for some of the most influential comic series of the past couple of decades, including Madman, Atomics, and Red Rocket 7. He's also contributed his art to a number of celebrated comic titles, including Sandman, iZombie, and Batman 66. His latest graphic novel is a tribute to one of history's most unforgettable rock stars, David Bowie. It's a doorstop of a book, 160 pages, hardcover, a team effort with Steve Horton and Laura Allred. It's called Bowie, Stardust, Ray Guns, and Moon Age Daydreams. Mike Allred, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's see. David Bowie, he was a rock and roll chameleon, maybe the rock and roll chameleon. His many personas include the Thin White Duke, Aladdin Sane, and perhaps most famously, Ziggy Stardust. And the opening page of your book is a splash page that features all of those personas.
I'm a massive Bowie fan, and in fact, the reason Red Rocket 7 exists is because I wanted to do a Ziggy Stardust comic book, and that actually was almost officially done, but then just the momentum stopped. And I had a dream that kind of all these images in my head came in my head, sounds came in my head, and it resulted in a multimedia project where I did a full-length, no-budget feature called Astroesque. My band, The Gear, did a concept album called Son of Red Rocket 7, which largely plays as a soundtrack to the graphic novel Red Rocket 7. So, an album, film, and the graphic novel. And when you read it, it is the history of rock and roll told through the eyes of an alien clone. And this alien clone has red hair and missing eyebrows. And so it's not too subtle an homage to Bowie.
Yeah, when David Bowie was kind of strung out on heroin, his station-to-station phase.
Yeah.
He got a call from the
Mostly cocaine.
Yeah, all kinds of...
He was experimenting.
Yes. Well, he got a call from the amazing British director, Nicholas Rogue, to play a space alien in the film The Man Who Fell to Earth. And at the time, nobody on Earth looked more like a space alien than David Bowie.
No. And even he obviously doesn't have all the glam of the Ziggy Stardust persona, but he's still, he was at his thinnest. There is just something so uniquely odd and quite beautiful about just Bowie's physicality. And it's one of the greatest casting masterworks I've ever seen. He is just perfect for that. It's shocking how it's one of my favorite films, and it's one of these movies that I can watch over and over again because it has a hypnotic quality. You just start watching it, and it takes you over, and you just kind of melt into the movie. He's just so perfect for it, and it's tragic and sad and haunting. I really love that movie, but yeah, it was. So happy that Nicholas Rogue thought to do that. Of course, it's based on a novel. And, of course, thrilled that Bowie agreed to do it. And Bowie, it's funny, he always talks about how he considers himself an actor or a performer before a singer. He never felt like he had a great singing voice. Obviously, me and other people would argue that. But by saying that, it's bizarre how little film acting he actually did. And how he only twice starred in a movie. He most of his film appearances are supporting roles, and yet for him to just come out of the gate with Man Who Fell to Earth, I'm so happy that piece exists. It really is just a perfect moment in time where everything came together to create this piece of art.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser, and today we're talking about the graphic novel Bowie with legendary artist and writer Mike Allred. While we're bringing you this conversation today, we also want to offer you the opportunity to join KBOO and take home some one-of-a-kind thank you gifts. When you call toll-free 877-500-KBOO and talk to one of our volunteers, you can get a copy of Mike Allred's graphic novel, Bowie. So don't wait. Call 877-500-KBOO and become a member of your community radio station. I have some friends joining me to tell you more.
Good morning. It is KBOO's winter membership drive, and we are asking you to go to the phone right now. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm to become a member with us. I'm Althea. I'm the news director here at KBOO. I'm joined by Tammy. Hey, Tammy.
Hello. How's it going, everyone? Good morning. Call 877-500-5266 and donate today. Become a member online, kboo.fm/give.
We are so excited to be on Words and Pictures with you today to talk about why it's so important to support KBOO. You know, programs like this, you don't find them all over the air talking about this very cool book, which we actually have in front of us right now. We are in an audio medium, so it's a little bit more difficult to communicate how gorgeous this book is. But if this is content that speaks to you, if this is, you know, David Bowie was someone important in your life, this is the kind of content that KBOO is able to bring you. And we depend on your listener support. So we're asking folks to give us a call at 877-500-5266. You can also go online, kboo.fm/give. And for folks who can come in at the $10 a month level, we have this book as a gift for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Bowie, Stardust, Ray Guns, and Moon Age Daydreams. Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. I can't even stop looking at it, thumbing through the pages, not too hard, very gently, of course, because this book could be yours, coming in at $10 a month right now. This beautiful, lovely graphic novel, it's really just so stunning looking at it. It's colorful, it's picturesque, it just beautifully, you know, captures Bowie, his essence.
Captures the imagination, really.
Oh, yeah, really. And for $10 a month, you could be gifted with this beautiful graphic novel. You could call right now, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm/give, and this beautiful, gorgeous book can be yours.
You know, we're hearing illuminating conversation on KBOO. We're bringing it to you every single day, whether you know, are a regular listener of this show, or maybe you more typically tune into our music shows or other public affairs shows. We are bringing it to you. So give us a call and show us your support. Become a member. Become a member of our community. That number is going to be 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm/give. We got lovely people behind us waiting to take your call, waiting to bring you into our community. That number one more time is going to be 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Let's get back into the conversation. Words and Pictures.
So was it the shapeshifter quality of David Bowie that really first attracted you to him? I mean, you were pretty young when you became a fan.
Yeah, and no. puberty was ready to kick in, and so I was still a kid who bought Famous Monsters of Filmland, and I bought comic books, but I discovered him completely independently. A lot of my favorite music would have been discovered because a friend would say, here, listen to this album, I think you'll like it. But in the case of Bowie, I was down at the local drugstore, born and raised. The first 14 years of my life were in Roseburg, Oregon. And we lived just up the hill off of Jackson Street, which is this classic Americana downtown street. You know, you go down there and there's Johnny's Toy Store, and there's Payless Drugstore, and there's the Rexall, and there's the record store, and there's the music store, which sells instruments, Ricketts Music Store. And the radio station that I ended up working there was a block off of that street, too. The husband and wife who owned the local radio stations and AM and FM lived just across the street from us. So my best friend growing up was Eric Warden, who ended up, and he's still in broadcasting. You'll hear his voice on national commercials and stuff. But this classic Leave It to Beaver kind of childhood with comic books and toys and G.I. Joes and Major Matt Masons, which was my favorite outer space toy. And so I'm at the Payless drugstore and on the spinner rack looking for comic books to spend my paper route money. And off to the left is the magazine rack. And that's, of course, where I would grab Famous Monsters of Filmland. And I probably had fewer than 5 record albums at that point. But on this particular day, over on the magazine rack, I saw the cover of Cream magazine, which had David Bowie and his wife at the time, Angie, in what looked like spacesuits. You know, the crazy, weird, pointy shoulders. And this photograph was him without the eyebrows, and it was very high contrast. So it looked really blown out, and it had been airbrushed with really cool art, or the coloring was really spectacular and poppy. And so I just was drawn right to it. And I opened it up, and the centerpiece was a mini poster of the Diamond Dogs cover. This could date it because that was just about to come out. And
controversial album cover. It got slightly censored at one point.
And this in Cream magazine was not centered. So the dog genitalia was in full display. And like, what is this? Is crazy. And so the whole George Orwell 1984 space alien, everything, all of that just was right there in full force in this one magazine. And so I had to have it. I bought it. I'm looking through it, reading it on my way home. And it's like, okay, I got to try this. So on the way home, I go into Ricketts Music Store, and they had the 45 for Rebel Rebel, which is different from the album cut. It's got more production. It's got weird vocalizations, background vocals, and this flanging rah, 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 rah kind of intro to it. And on the flip side was Lady Grinning Soul. So I get home and I play Rebel Rebel, the single version, flip it over, Lady Grinning Soul, which to this day is one of the sexiest songs I've ever heard in my life. It's hauntingly beautiful. I love that song so much. And flip it over, flip it over, flip it over. Just I listened to each side easily a dozen times and was just entranced. And so I was definitely hit by the whole sci-fi thing. And when you read Neil Gaiman's intro in the book, you'll find that the same thing. His initial attraction was the whole sci-fi aspect of what Bowie was doing. And so from there, I would then read about how Bowie produced stuff for Mott the Hoople and Lou Reed's Transformer album. And then you'd find out his connection with Iggy Pop, which would lead you through the Stooges. And then the Ramones were kicking out at that time, and they looked like comic book characters. So all of this pop art stuff was just kind of flying at me. And then there was this double album called Images, which had a comic book cover. A gatefold, you open it up, and the front and back are like a comic strip illustrating the songs of his earliest songs, his pre-Space Oddity songs. And so I had all of that, all within a matter of weeks. So all of that stuff mixes together for me in just this giant tidal wave of inspiration. And so much of it, of course, there's Space Oddity, but there's always references to Moon Boys and horror and sci-fi and adventure and storytelling, superheroes. There's a song called The Superman about the beings that can't die and their desire is to be able to die and rot away into nothingness. So I'm a kid, and this stuff is just burning through my head, and all of that stuff remains my favorite. As much as I'll enjoy, I'll discover a new band here or there, like the Brian Jonestown Massacre, the Dandy Warhols, or Tame Impala, or you know, what have you, Spoon, but I constantly see how that stuff feeds back to the same stuff. Their influence are my influences, and so you'll hear that in my band, The Gear, and then my favorite current music almost always goes back to this stuff, and T-Rex, and Slade, and it's this bottomless pit of joy for me. I can always go back to it and recall the same thrill of discovery that I got from this, because it really was me independently researching this through these magazines and then buying the records and then drawing the imagery that the music inspired me to do. So it, the very little artwork that survives from that is all really trippy and weird and bizarre and sexy as I'm discovering, you know, my body and women. And, you know, it was just a really crazy, super hyped up sensory time, you know, jumping into puberty and then my early teens. It was just madness, but a really thrilling madness.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we're talking today with Mike Allred. He's the creator of the comics series Madman, Atomics, and Red Rock 7, and the new graphic novel Bowie. We are currently in the midst of our membership drive, so if you've been enjoying the programming this morning, I hope that you'll take a moment to become a member of KBOO. I'm joined right now by some friends who can tell you more.
Good morning, Portland. You are listening to KBOO, and we are in the midst of our winter drive. Call one right now, 1-877-500-5266, or donate online at kboo.fm/give. My name is Tammy, and I'm the Public Affairs Director here at KBOO Community Radio, and I want to take a second to speak with you about this lovely interview and the lovely book that you can be gifted if you donate right now at $10 a month, 1-877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm/give. This program and this book, you know, it's a hybrid of both public affairs, community, local stuff, and literature, because that's really what makes the Portland communities, all of these things, and all the people within the community that create all of these. So what's a better platform to promote this type of stuff than your community radio? Because that is what we're here for. Speaking of being here for people, I'm here with Althea. How are you doing, Althea?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be talking about Words and Pictures and this very interesting interview we're hearing right now. You know, David Bowie was obviously an icon of modern pop culture, meaningful to so many people. And, you know, we're talking with SW Conser, or Conch, about this very cool book. And, you know, Words and Pictures and all of our programs that you get to listen to on KBOO are on the air because thousands of people have started up their memberships throughout last year's drive. And, you know, a dollar a day, it means something different to different people. Everybody's got a different level that they can come in at, but it adds up. So we're asking folks to come in at a $10 a month level. That's going to be $120 a year to support the content that you love, supporting your community radio station, being engaged with your community. It's all so important. And as a thank you gift, to show you how much we care, we have the very book that they're talking about right now for folks who come in at that $10 a month level.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. So many colors. So and look at the cover.
Feels good in the
beautiful.
Hands.
Yeah, it does.
Will look
it's
great on your book. Coffee table.
Big, thick book.
Yeah, reading it cover to cover. I'm sure you will. Give us a call. 877-500-5266. You can also go online to donate at kboo.fm/give.
Yeah, online or on the phone, we have volunteers that are waiting, itching for your phone call, and they will direct you towards the different ways that you can donate, whether it is by calling 1-877-500-5266 or going online, kboo.fm/give. You can do the $10 a month, come in at $10 a month and receive this beautiful, gorgeous, thick book about Bowie. His life and so much more, you know.
And it's not just about the book, you know.
No.
You get this book as the cream on top of the sundae that is supporting your community radio station.
Well, I'm hungry for more.
Yeah, coming in to help us out like that makes a real big difference. So if you can give us a call, 877-500-5266, we're waiting for you. Let's get back into Words and Pictures.
Retrofuturism is something that...
it's my middle name.
That yeah, is a thread that runs through your work and with the Madman comics that was your first big breakout. It always sort of reminded me of Disneyland's Tomorrowland.
Absolutely.
Like, here's this future that they created back in the 50s and 60s that kind of went out of fashion, but they never changed it, so it came back into fashion again.
Yeah, and again, another part, a huge part of my childhood. When we would regularly visit our relatives in L.A., the treat would always be going to Disneyland, man. And Tomorrowland was like stepping into the future. It was just this magical, wonderful, just eat it up. But as far as movies go, in my childhood, nothing was more important to me than Planet of the Apes. I tried to make my own ape makeup, just anything I could. And what's important to note, my cousin Lori from California, when we were visiting relatives, there was a big family reunion in Salt Lake City, and A Man Who Fell to Earth was coming out. I was still a kid. And she knew I was huge into David Bowie, and she was too. And there was this movie, and I wouldn't dare ask my parents to take me to it. It was R-rated. And so, please, Lord, will you take me to this? And she took me to it and was shocked. You know, it's very graphic. There's some very graphic sex in it, full frontal nudity, and I'm eating it all up. So this is, you know, the first sexy R-rated movie I've ever seen in my life. And afterwards, my cousin's like, do not tell your parents what we just watched. But the imagery in that, if you recall, when you see Thomas Newton, the alien's homeworld, it's just sand. And him and his family walking across these epic dunes.
And there are so many questions that are never quite answered in The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Yeah.
And like you said, Bowie's character is leaving this desert planet for Earth to help his family in some way.
There's a drought. He needs to get water back to them somehow.
So you can't help but think of parallels to some of the climate issues we're going through at the moment.
Oh, man. Don't get me started. It's terrifying. It's stunning to me how ignorant the people who are in power are, where just because your interests financially don't coincide with that, you will just write it off at the expense of all of our existence. This needs to be taken seriously, and it's not. So depending on where your politics are will determine whether you choose to believe science or not. And I just find that frustrating, and I just see so much hate in it. I do everything possible in my life to avoid hate. I've been there. I referred to my years of juvenile delinquency where I was raging with hatred and found a path to peace and the ability to influence for good whenever possible, but without ever preaching or forcing what my hopes and dreams are or my life philosophies. So I do it in much more subtle ways through my work, which I want my work, even though I can take you to dark places, I want to leave you somewhere joyful and uplifting and hopeful. But then there are times when I think, you know, when having a voice, like right now, should I get angry and stomp and throw things and try to, you know, break through that wall of ignorance? And, you know, I constantly remind myself why I'm a sci-fi geek, because there's a hopefulness in it. You can go to really dark, bleak places in science fiction, but ultimately it's about finding a bright path for our future. The reason George Orwell wrote 1984 was to warn us of what could happen. And you can see parallels happening right in front of us, but because it's not illustrated in an obvious way to where anybody with an open mind can see the dangers of it all, it's lost or confused or misconstrued or taken out of context. But ultimately, we have to think about the people that are going to follow us and leave this world in a better place than we found it. Everyone who loves their children wants them to have a better life, not to have more money for them, not to gather all of as much money as possible so that you can fly your private jet and you can have your big house and not worry about the people that are suffering, but to not see the destructive aspects of not caring about lifting everybody else up too.
Well, there are political activists across the spectrum who believe that art is inconsequential. It's fluffy.
That's ignorant.
You are of the opinion that art is the key. It's the keystone to all human progress.
Absolutely. I mean, why do we have museums? Why do people still, of all political stripes, go to the Louvre? Everybody can appreciate human history when you look at art. I think there's nothing more important than art, because every soul, every human being can be creative. Every aspect of creating is something that every human being should be able to connect with and relate to and be inspired by. Even if it's writing a letter to a loved one, that's being creative. And it's how we get to relate to each other. And it's also how we see how we don't agree, where we see the differences in each other. And we should try to appreciate those differences rather than get angry by them. My dad was very intellectual, very well-read, massive library of books. He was also into art, and so he was influential there too. He wanted to be an artist, and his whole life took art classes and contributed to the art community and local art shows and whatnot. But being the intellectual that he was, there was always questioning. So why do you believe what you believe? So and then
he was a psychologist as well.
Yeah, he was a psychologist. I'm blanking. Who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Oh, Ken Kesey.
Yeah, he was dad's orderly.
No kidding, at the Oregon State Hospital.
No, at the VA hospital in Roseburg, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah, and the movie was filmed in Salem. But and I don't know where all Ken Kesey went around, but for a time he was my dad's orderly. And
that's where Ken Kesey discovered LSD. It was a therapeutic drug at the time.
Yeah.
Experimental therapeutic drug.
My dad was in charge of the alcoholics ward at the VA hospital. And when I would visit there, it'd be like, oh, hey, Michael, dad's down there. And his office was at the end of the ward. So I'd walk down this long hallway, and some of the rooms would be open, and you'd just see these broken men just sitting on the edge of their beds. And of course, who knows what these men saw, you know, because of course, most of them were veterans of war and had these horrible experiences and were there for, you know, their alcoholism in that particular ward that my dad was responsible for.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser, and today we're talking with comics artist and writer Mike Allred. While we're bringing you this conversation today, we also want to offer you the opportunity to join KABU by calling one of our volunteers toll-free at 877-500-KBOO. As a bonus, you can get yourself a copy of Mike Allred's graphic novel, Bowie. I have some friends joining me right now to tell you more.
Hello, folks. You are listening to KABU's Winter Membership Drive, and we are asking folks to go to the phone right now and give us a call. That number is going to be 877-500-5266. You're also able to go online to KABU.fm and become a member with us right now. I'm Althea. I'm the news director here at KABU, and I'm joined by Tammy, our public affairs director. Hey,
hello,
Tammy.
Hello.
And we are so excited to get to talk to you about words and pictures today. This terrific conversation about an influential man and a really incredible book. And, you know, programming like this, you don't hear it on every radio station. All the people who are bringing you regular content like this, all our hosts are volunteers.
Yep, all volunteers. That's
and right. KABU offers people the opportunity to get their voice out there and to explore topics that are interesting to them. And obviously, you, our listener, gets to benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if KABU has a special place in your life, if this is something that you are listening to on the regular, we want to know about that. If you love us, let us know. Give us a call and become a member today. That number is going to be 877-500-5266. And we're asking folks this hour to come in at the $10 a month level. $10 a month. That's going to be $120 a year, and that makes a really big difference for us.
It does. That's how we keep
sustaining membership is so important. Mm-hmm. It gives us money to rely on every month. Any donation, of course, is welcome. But at the $10 a month level for this hour, we have some extra copies of the book that you're hearing about right now that we would be glad to give you as a thank you gift. So if that sounds good to you, if you are able to come to that $10 level, maybe you've been thinking about it, maybe you want to upgrade your membership, give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kbu.fm/give.
That's right, Althea. You know, here on KBOO, whether it's the public affairs hours or the music hours, the music shows, there's this a cross-pollination of culture, movements, news, public affairs here in KBOO, and it's all, like you said, brought to you by your community. All the hosts here are volunteers, and they went through the volunteer orientation and went through all the different courses and trainings that the station here has to offer, and here they are now on the airways giving you all this type of information, exposing you to maybe thoughts or events or people that you aren't familiar with, and they did all this because they took the first step of becoming a volunteer, becoming a member. And you can do that whether it's your time or energy. KBOO is your station to make a difference. You are already part of this community, so why not make it official by calling right now, 877-500-5266, or donating online, kbu.fm/give. And like Althea said, at the $10 a month right now, you can be gifted this beautiful, gorgeous, thick book about David Bowie. And, you know, even the illustrator, local from Eugene, so it's just closing of a circle,
right,
of a community
supporting
circle.
The art community, supporting your community radio station, keeping this all thriving. We want you to be a part of that. 877-500-5266 is going to be that number. We got folks standing by to talk to you. You can also donate online, kbu.fm/give. Give us a call. Let's get back into words and pictures.
This book, Bowie, Stardust, Ray Guns, and Moon Age Daydreams, it unfolds like a film. You're sort of cutting back and forth in time and among different characters and scenes.
Yeah. Well, I've wrote screenplays, my independent films that I've wrote. So, and I have my favorite filmmakers, whether it's David Lynch or Stanley Kubrick. So if I'm not writing scripts, I'm reading them. And I wanted to have the feeling of a documentary. And also the Queen movie had come out, which, by the way, frustrates me more than anything because the chronology of that film is so messed up. And this whole creative license thing goes out the window for me there. So mixed feelings. There's so much to love about it and the performances, but there's so many inaccuracies. So Steve Horton, who brought the project to me initially.
Steve Horton, your collaborator, he's worked with DC, Image, Dark Horse, all kinds of publishers.
Yeah, I think he used to work for the Comic Buyer's Guide too, starting out or something. But we actually discovered inaccuracies in each other's scripts. So initially he wrote a script, and I was doing my research because I had my vision. For instance, I wanted the framing device of the La Ziggy Stardust show. So when I got his script, it was like, oh no, that he actually didn't meet Warhol till then, and this and that. And so I then took his script and then wrote what we called the shooting script, integrating what Steve had done and then my additional research and whatnot. So in this case, it was really good to check each other. And being a Bowie fan, I don't want anybody calling me on something the way I would look at Bohemian Rhapsody and say, wait, that song didn't come out for 3 more years and that kind of thing.
So many Hollywood biopics are less interesting than the actual life stories that they portray. And that's especially true of movies about musicians. But one notable exception would be the films of Ken Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves to, you know, when he departs from reality, he just dials it up a notch or more.
And it's obviously inspired by the music of the composer that he's featuring, which is very exciting. And that so when you're talking about how you recognized a film approach to the graphic novel, it's that. Ken Russell is actually a huge influence on me. One of my cousin who lived with us, one of these family reunions back to Salt Lake City, she took me and my brother to see a triple feature. Tommy was just released, and with Tommy for this triple feature, the other features were Harold and Maude and Zachariah. Harold and Maude, one of my favorite movies, but Tommy blew me away. I think there's maybe two spoken words in that entire film that's, you know, it's completely pure rock opera. And the imagery, this is where Ken Russell just went insane with imagery. So that I never completely abandoned that aspect of comic books. I've always found a rhythm in my work where it's very musical, the way I approach it, and also the way the imagery is always me struggling, striving, or being inspired to take what's in my head and trying to filter it through my hand onto the paper. And so that's where I'm constantly being inspired by music to make it, all my creativity come together, no matter what medium I'm playing in.
Going back to movies, talking about movies, there's a connection between David Bowie and the Rocky Horror Picture Show's.
Oh, several, actually.
Richard O'Brien and Tim Curry.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually auditioned for Hair at the same time, before any of them were famous. And Pierre, the makeup artist on the Aladdin Sane album cover, that's when David Bowie first met him. He ended up hiring him for his tour. And you see him in the Ziggy Stardust documentary doing David Bowie's makeup. He ended up doing the makeup for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So you have this whole Aladdin Sane-y Ziggy Stardust connection going right into Rocky Horror. And all the music in Rocky Horror has a very Bowie-esque vibe to it. I love Richard O'Brien's music. I think he's fantastic, and I wish he did more. But that whole glam rock sci-fi obsession that I discovered with Bowie was completely picked up and echoed in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we're talking today with Mike Allred. He's the creator of the comics series Madman, Atomics, and Red Rock 7, and the new graphic novel Bowie. We are currently in the midst of our membership drive, so if you've been enjoying the programming this morning, I hope that you'll take a moment to become a member of KBOO. I'm joined right now by some friends who can tell you more.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We're in the middle of our winter drive, and we want you to call 1-877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm/give and become a member today. That's right. My name is Tammy, and I'm here, the Public Affairs Director here at KBOO Community Radio, and I want to talk to you about being part of the community. Here in KBOO, you hear different public affair programming like disability awareness or the food show, Black Book Talk, and also Words and Pictures, which is what you're listening to right now. And at the $10 a month donation, you will be gifted the beautiful book about Bowie, about the one and only Ziggy Stardust, and you can do that by calling 1-877-500-5266 or going online kboo.fm/give at the $10 a month donation.
That's right, Tammy. This is Althea. I'm the news director here at KBOO, and I'm so excited to get to talk to you about Words and Pictures, about this book about David Bowie. Bowie was somebody who was so influential in so many different arenas, and we get to talk about this book that meshes, you know, the biography, the fantasy, the fashion. Gorgeous illustrations.
It's so pretty. Can't get over it.
And, you know, this is the kind of conversation you're not going to hear on every radio station. This is an art show. We're bringing that to you. KBOO Public Affairs is doing that every weekday. And so we want you to be a part of this community. We know that you appreciate content like this. This means something to you. You make us a part of your day, and let's make that relationship official, I say. Become a member with us by calling 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm/give. You know, everybody gives what they can, and we totally appreciate that. We're asking folks this hour to come in at the $10 a month level. $10 a month, that's going to be $120 a year. It makes a huge difference for us. It keeps our lights on. It keeps us able to create new content for you, to reach out to different communities and create, you know, meaningful shows. And for folks who are able to come in at that $10 a month level, we have a few copies of the book here to gift you with.
Yes, the beautiful books. I'm going to keep saying it.
You got to stress it.
I do.
This is an audio medium.
It is. It's the pages, they're glossy. They're well put together. Wow, look at this. I love that. Look at that part. It's trippy, but in a good way, the best way possible, in the most Bowie way possible, and in the most Kabu way possible, yeah. I got to say. So if this speaks to you, these programming speak to you, and you want to become part of our community, because you already are, let's make it official. You can call 1-877-500-5266 or go online, kabu.fm/give. Make it official, become a member, and at $10 a month, you'll be gifted this beautiful, gorgeous book about David Bowie. Thank you very much. Let's get back to the program.
Speaking of comic books and tie-ins and graphic novels and all adaptations, last time you were in the studio, you had a project coming out called The Golden Plates. It was an illustrated version of the Book of Mormon that you adapted with your wife, Laura. I've got a copy. I do have to wonder whether Trey Parker and Robert Lopez have a copy.
I don't know. Ken Jennings does. Had some interaction with the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time. But that whole project was just a huge therapy session for me. I don't know how much time we have, but... Okay, let me just uncork this. I've struggled with, again, my dad was a shrink, and ever since around the age of 4, I've struggled with something my father called existential terrors, or commonly known as existential anxiety. And every, almost like clockwork, almost like 4 years apart, I will have these attacks where pretty much eternity opens up to me. Like, I can just see the expanse of the universe and just become terrified. It's a paradox where it's being terrified of existence, living, and the fear of dying and the fear of living forever all at the same time. Now, I've spent my entire life trying to put these experiences into words, and I've never been able to accurately do it. But it's terrifying and it's painful. And I do everything I can to get the thoughts and visions out of my head as quickly as possible. And I'll explain why. The first time it happened, it was a summer night, bedtime, it was still light outside. And so kids had to go to bed, I'm lying in my bed, and the ceiling opened up. And all of a sudden I could see through the sky, and then I could start seeing through the stars. And I just saw the endlessness of the universe and then contemplated, well, it has to end somewhere. Maybe it's a big concrete wall. Well, then how thick is the wall? And then what's on the other side of the wall and how far does that go? And again, these are the words that in my lifetime I've come to decide best illustrates the experience. But don't. It don't accurately explain what was happening. But me, as a 4-year-old, all I could do was start screaming. And I just screaming. And Mom came upstairs. What's wrong? I said, I can see forever. That was the only way I could communicate it. I can see forever. And it was just blowing my mind. And she was like, what? It took her a while to catch up with what was happening. But then finally she said, think about tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to play with your friends? Are you going to play kickball in the backyard? Are you going to climb the tree? What are you going to do tomorrow? And so it started rooting me back into now, as opposed to thinking about what's going to happen to me 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, which is what was happening. I was just shooting through eternity. And so she anchored me. And then out of exhaustion, I fell asleep. And that was that. But then again, 4 years later, this happened again. And this might have happened because at the age of 8, you get baptized in the Mormon church. At that point, it's decided you're old enough to be responsible for your own sins. You can get baptized, et cetera, and then through sacrament, you can continually be forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of that stuff may have contributed. But the same thing happened again. I started thinking about living forever. Fear of eternity. All of a sudden, everything opens up. I can't see what's really around me. All I see, I'm just getting shot through space. So almost like clockwork. Every 4 years, zing. And one of these unfortunately happened after I got married. So Laura's first experience of this with me was when we got married. And the fact that she's still with me would best illustrate how important she is to me, because she thought I was going crazy, and I probably was. And also, she couldn't figure out if I was regretting getting married, like I was having second thoughts or whatever, because I was losing my mind. But she did what my mom was able to do, by just comfort me and pull me back to reality and see this beautiful being that loved me unconditionally and has just been the anchor of my life ever since. Then later, when I would be able to discuss this with Dad, he said, well, that's actually quite common. It's this. And I'm like, through my whole life, I've tried to find somebody to tell me they're experiencing this and what they do about it. And the next time, or probably the second time it happened with Laura, she said, have you ever just tried to write it out? You know, just see where it's taking you? You know, why do you fight back to reality? Maybe this is God. Maybe this is something wanting to open something up to you, the secrets of the universe, you know? And so, like, who am I to be giving this amazing knowledge, right? But I was like, okay. So when this was happening, rather than falling back into the comfort of my real life, I won't fight these thoughts away. I'll let it go and write it out. And I did. And Laura will tell you, to this day, it was the worst advice she ever gave anybody ever, because I lost it. I just, all reality fell away. And I ended up curled up in a ball. And she's crying. And then I'm barely able to start functioning. And for 2 solid weeks at least, I'm just trying to meet my deadlines, trying to do what's required of me, trying to not have our children see this happening to me. So I'm just kind of being led around and trying, and I'm answering. I'm robotically functioning, but I'm not there, and nothing feels real to me. It's like I'm living this weird dream while I'm trying to get through this. And then finally, I said, Laura, I think you need to take me to the hospital. I can't do this anymore. I need help. And then our daughter, Kelby, was like, can we see Grandma and Grandpa? And I'll tell you now that I thought that my children weren't seeing me suffer when these experiences happened, but they did. And it affected our oldest son, Han, the most. And that's why he's making this documentary, which I haven't seen any of it yet. But the people he's interviewed so far, it's a list that's incredibly impressive, but it's also an incredibly personal thing. And I only know the subject largely because of the questions he's asked me through several interviews. So I'll say that. But at this time, I thought I was still hiding this stuff from them. But when our daughter said, can we go see Grandma and Grandpa? Laura's parents had moved up to Springfield, this city next door to us here. Her father was in the bishopric at the church. And so I thought, well, maybe I can try that. So rather than her take me to the hospital, like, let's see if he'll give me a blessing. Oh, he'll pray over me. And so when her father was praying for me, I thought, I need to really dive into this. I need to really figure this out. And so that ultimately led to me reading my great-great-grandfather's journals, learning about my father's experiences, and then really going deep. And then ultimately, I was going to write a biography on Joseph Smith, and then ultimately decided, you know, I'm going to adapt the Book of Mormon so that so that I can completely understand it. And that was the goal. So I broke it down and decided to illustrate the complete history of these people that take place over 1,000 years in the Book of Mormon. And the inspiration for that was a therapeutic cure for me to get through this. And so I started to do that and couldn't financially sustain it. Problem number one. But then also what happened was I had another one of these attacks. And this was me diving in completely, taking every calling, doing everything as perfectly as I could to prove to God that, you know, I'm all in, you know. And yet I still had one of these attacks. And so I was like, what am I doing? That had me then reason things out and looked at other things. But ultimately, I ended up where I am now. But that was absolutely a very gratifying experience. I love doing it. I do have a great respect and affection for that history and everything I did with that. But ultimately decided that going to church on Sunday is not my bag. So, and that's the short version.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser. And today we're talking with comics artist and writer Mike Allred. We are currently in the midst of our membership drive, so if you've been enjoying the programming this morning, we hope that you'll take a moment to call 877-500-KBOO and become a member. My fellow volunteers here can tell you all about the membership options.
Hello, folks. It is KBOO's winter membership drive right now. We are asking people to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. Or go to kboo.fm to become a member with us right now. I'm Althea. I am the news director here at KBOO. I am joined today by Tammy, our public affairs director. Hey, Tammy.
Hello, this is Tammy.
And we are loving that we get to talk to you about Words and Pictures today, about this this interview with this author who created this this graphic novel about David Bowie.
Yeah.
And we also want to talk to you about why it is so important to become a member with us. Your support means everything. It keeps very cool shows like this on the air. Let's not beat around the bush. We get to hear about from comic artists. We get to hear from members of different communities on KBOO, and your support keeps us able to do that. 80% of our financial support comes from listeners like you. And maybe you've been thinking about it. You've maybe heard our drives in the past, and you thought, maybe I should become a member. Now is the time.
Now
we
is the
want
time.
You to be a part of this. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm/give. It's all part of a grand experiment, this community radio thing, and we want you to join us, to be a part of it, to keep us on the air. And for folks who are able to come in at that $10 a month level, that's going to be $120 a year, we have books for you as a thank you gift. So not only do you get to support your community radio station, support the content that you love, that takes you to work in the morning and home in the afternoon, you also get this great book.
It is, and it's a great book that maybe if you aren't a Bowie fan personally, you can gift it to someone else. I'd be stoked if I got this. Althea and I were reading through it.
Yeah, just flipping through. The illustrations are incredible.
I wish we were poets so we could really describe how beautiful these books are.
You gotta take our word for it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, gorgeous graphic novel. And for the $10 a month donation, you will be gifted this beautiful book about David Bowie. It's not just about David Bowie. It's about, you know, just the whole landscape of the time, too, that created David Bowie and everything in between. So you can call 1-877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm/give. At any point level would be helpful, but at the $10 a month level, you will be gifted this beautiful Bowie book. And we thank you all so much for tuning in and for being part of the like you said, the great experiment that is KBOO, because, you know, it's a great experiment that is the human, you know, experience. So 1-877-500-5266, kboo.fm/give. So you can't put money on it, but you really can, because that money helps keep the lights running, keeps the internet connected.
Perpetuates the things that you love.
Indeed, exactly. So again, 1-877-500-5266. 5266 or online kbu.fm/give.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I love that we've been doing such a deep dive. I don't want to let you go without mentioning some of the other work that you've done. You've been incredibly prolific as an artist, just alone, not writing, contributing your work to Batman 66 with Jeff Parker, to Sandman with Neil Gaiman. But you've also done a cameo in the movie Chasing Amy, the Kevin Smith movie. And for viewers who want to take a close look at the Blunt Man and Chronic comic in Chasing Amy, that's your artwork.
Yeah, I designed them, which was fun because, of course, Kevin was, I told you, he stayed with us. He was here with the reboot. And Val Kilmer wears the costume. Spoiler, Val Kilmer wears the Blunt Man costume that I designed. So that was, it's a kick. Kevin's fun. I mean, he. If you just want to talk about Star Wars for 10 hours straight, he's your guy. And I love that kind of stuff. I love that nerd culture. And to me, that's a good word. Or geek, nerd. It's somebody who's passionate about things that they're passionate about. And just love sharing those passions with other people who are passionate about the same thing. And so I love being a part of those worlds. And, you know, we've done similar things with Robert Rodriguez, who had optioned the Mad Men movie for 14 years, I think. He picked it up after Universal had it, but that became just an awesome, fun friendship more than a film collaboration. But these guys are just fun. And when they're like with Robert, with the Spy Kids movie, all of his friends who had kids, he flew them down to do a cameo in Spy Kids 2. You know, that's the kind of people these guys are. It's all about fun and community and family and friends and just always being creative and enjoying that process and sharing it with people. So it's fun when that kind of stuff happens. And with Chasing Amy, I have the first line in the movie.
Well, the book is Bowie, Stardust, Ray Guns, and Moon Age Daydreams. The author is Mike Allred, co-written with Steve Horton and with colors by Laura Allred. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Always, to this day, it weirds me out that anybody's interested in anything I have to say.
Well, for those listeners who'd like to find out more about you and your other books and projects, where can they look?
At AllredMD Twitter and at AllredMD Instagram are where I always show the first things I'm doing, and then Facebook page. That's always the best way to keep up in the most timely manner what I've got going on.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. Many thanks to Charlotte Nisser and Professor Joaquin at KWVA Radio in Eugene for all their help and expertise. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at kboo.fm. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at wordsandpicture. Before we go today, we want to make sure that you, the listener, have an opportunity to become a member of KBOO today and take home a one-of-a-kind thank you gift that's been set aside especially for fans of Words and Pictures. Right now, I'm joined by some of my KBOO friends who have all the details.